Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Strength and Skills Podcast. Welcome to the best podcast in the world. This is your host, Nick Tibuzek, and with me is the one and only, the legendary Dennis Piccolo.
Hello, everyone.
All right, party people. Today's topic, we're going to make this one a quickie. It's going to be about RPE and REAR. We're going to talk about what's the difference, what is this thing, as we're going to get a lot of questions about, about this thing when we're going to put something like @7 or something like that on the posts or in the story. So actually, what we're going to talk about is what is it, how do you use it, and does it make sense for everyone? And right now, it is like, in the end, first of all, I think we got to say that.
Yeah.
In the end, RPE and REAR is exactly the same.
Same thing, yeah. Exactly. I think that's a good starting point. So REAR and RPE are actually the same. They just have, there's some nuances in which it's better to use one or the other. And it often depends on the client if he likes it more or less. So what do they stand for? So RPE means rate of perceived exertion, meaning how hard something is for you. And REAR means reps in reserve. So how many reps you had in the tank. Let's maybe start with RPE and just see how it like is actually the same thing as REAR. So RPE goes from 1 to 10 in resistance training, and REAR goes from 0 to, 8 plus, but nobody uses, let's say 5, something like that. An RPE 10 means you had no rep left in the tank. So RPE 10 is a REAR 0, it's the same thing, means you couldn't do anything more. You gave it all, you're done. Usually we're talking about or a single or the last set if you do more sets.
And here's one big, very, very important thing to say. An RPE 10 is not, they are different RPE 10s. Like if you have a technical failure, usually when it comes to sets where it's more about strength training, not hypertrophy training, an RPE 10 is when you technically fail the set. So if when it happens that you definitely have a lack of a good technique during that set, that's a 10.
Very well said, yeah. And
if you have a muscular failure, really like going into a heavy set of something.
Hex squats, for example, or like something where you use a machine especially, which like doesn't require as much technique because the path is given by the machine. There you can hit a real RPE 10 in the sense real that like you're
doesn't work anymore. If you probably don't want complete failure
on a squat.
In a squat or something like that. As the chance to get injured is pretty high.
Exactly.
Okay. I think it's that's a very important one to say here. But let's go on. So
yeah, let's go.
10 is the maximum amount you can technically perform well. So now we're going to go the ladder down.
Yeah.
And the next one would be the 9.5.
Yeah. 9.5 means you could have done maybe one rep more, but not 100% sure. So the 0.5s is always between 0 and 1 or 1 and 2 reps more. And here it's between 0 and 1 rep more. So it wasn't a complete technical failure, but one more rep would have been very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Like the last rep would have been the grind of your life.
Yeah, usually it is, you maybe could have handled a little bit more weight, but probably not another rep.
Exactly.
That's usually mostly it.
Yeah.
But going down from there. There we come to the nine, which is you definitely can do one more rep.
Yes.
And here's to say, you definitely can do one more rep. That's very important to say here, as a lot of people misunderstand this a little bit. When you say a nine and you can definitely do one more rep, it's this is not just, I would have grinded, blah, blah, blah. No, another perfect, lovely rep you can do.
Yeah, exactly. And a nine means in rear one, so one more rep.
And here you go. This is why rear and RPE is pretty much the same as for most people. It's just a little bit better to understand to say, okay, one more in the tank and say rear one. And a lot of people have some troubles with saying RPE nine. Yeah, in the end, it is exactly
it's the same. Yeah. So, and we go from there. Then there's the 8.5. So between one and two more reps, eight, two more reps in reserve, three more reps in reserve, and so on. Usually in training, maybe in an extremely easy intro week, or if you do rehab work, you will work with fives and six. But honestly, I rarely, it's very, very rare. Maybe in it. So usually the range where you want to be to constantly improve, let's say, is somewhere between an RP 8, 7 and 8, 8.5, depending on the week, depending on the cycle, depending on many factors. It's very depending on the day too. Like, it's not that every day this weight is an RP 8 on this amount of reps, but it changes and then auto-regulation comes into place, but that's for another episode.
Yeah. And this is also something we got to talk about, why RPE and rear is so good for most athletes, as when it comes to programming stuff and telling an athlete, you got to do 150 squat, and or maybe some, a dip, like 80 kg dip. He's just pretty wasted from the day. So he had a hard day at work, and he's just maybe not that focused and stuff like that. It can happen that he just can't hit the 80 kg or the 150, whatever it is, but it can happen. And with an RPE, you definitely can go into the individual situation of that person, as it may be that this person's going to be like a 75 dip today. Yeah.
And it feels like an 8, and it's completely all right, because you get better and you can recover from that quicker as if you would be doing an 80 and completely messing your peaking, for example.
Yeah.
Especially in peaking phases, it's very important to try to stick to them. And of course, it's not an easy thing, and it's something you got to learn, and something where a coach that has rated a lot of RPEs can help you to understand if you're really hitting your RPEs, because there's, first of all, different types of people. Like an RPE 9 or 10, my RPE 9 or 10 looks like I'm having the easiest time of my life. Yeah. Like, if you see my RP 9, I'm like, I pull very quickly, but I know I can do one more rep. Like, I'm somebody who almost never grinds. Like, I'm very, very bad at grinding. I pull or I don't, for example. You just see my legs moving a bit, trembling a bit, but that is an RP 9 for me. While I have some clients who, or my coach, for example, on the second rep in his squat, he looks like he can't do anything more. Like he looks grinded, but he can keep going for 10 other reps. It's incredible. So if you look at it, you would say, okay, that's an RP 9 after the second rep, but he does 8 reps more, meaning that it was nothing. And that's something the athlete needs to learn, and the athlete needs to learn what a real RPE 10 feels like, so that he understands it for himself too, and the coach needs to understand it too. So I sometimes like even to get to know a person in some movements to see how a RPE 10 kind of looks like, to regulate it with like to know if I can push in more or less, because it's different. So it takes practice, but once you get the hang of it, it can be very, very useful.
And it also depends a little bit on the exercise, as when you look at the athletes, some exercises may look different to other exercises. Yeah, mm-hmm. Grinding a squat is a complete different thing to grinding, I don't know, maybe a curl or something. And it definitely feels completely different. If you ever had a 9 or a 10 in a squat set, that's a complete different level to a curl. A complete different
one. Yeah. Like RPE plays a bigger role in big compound movement than in little movements.
Absolutely.
Just as a general rule.
But to give some tips for rating your RPE, I think the first thing should be, don't think about it too much while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Think about it when you've done it.
Yeah.
That's a very, very important one. So going into a set and into a training and knowing, okay, I got to hit an 8 today. And I think you should know a number before already that you aim for, but also feel it through the warm-up sets where while doing the warm-up sets, you feel how heavy it is. But here's a little misconception that happens a lot of times. Just because the warm-up doesn't feel perfect, it doesn't mean you can't hit the set.
Absolutely.
That's so important to understand right here. And I think that's very important. And another thing, you got to practice it, and it's more about processing through it instead of being perfect with the RPE all the time. You will never be.
Yeah. And yeah, maybe let's switch to the point. So when do we like to use RPE or rear? For example, on skills, I like to use RPE all day long. I feel RPE has more a subjective side to it, while rear is more objective, at least in my head. So I see RPE as a lot of how you feel about an exercise. I like it for singles, because for singles too, it's a lot about feeling how the rep was, not how many reps you could do more with a heavy single, meaning that if you need to hit an RPE 9 and you hit an RPE 9 and you know you can hit, like put 2.5 kg more on the lift, for example, it's different than you want to hit a rear 1. It just, I don't know, it feels like if you hit a rear 1, you can do one more rep. If you hit RPE 9 in a peaking, like, or a 9.5, let's say, you can put 2.5 kg more on the lift, maybe when you go at the champion, like go compete, but you for sure maybe won't be able to do two more reps or so. And I feel the line is a bit like, it's more subjective to me. And in skills, when you hold something and it's about perfect execution and perfect technique until a certain point, an RPE 7 means you held it for 6 seconds, for example, and it was absolutely perfect and you could have held it for at least 3 more seconds, let's say, but it's not as exact in skills, because 3 more seconds in a certain skill where you use it to really accumulate volume is a different thing than a straddle planche that you maybe just reached and you can do maximum 3 seconds and it felt super good and technique was clean. But for sure not, you would be able to hold it for 6 seconds, even if you rate it a 7. To make a practical example, 6 seconds of straddle planche, you would have died probably after 5th second. So Yeah, and real, I like to use it when the reps are higher because it's easier. Like you have 8 reps, you could probably have done 10. And if you tried, you could have done 10 if you hit a real 2. And I don't know, I feel it's more objective and it works very well there. I have some clients rate RPE and RIR both.
That's
actually, yeah. What, only one actually, but it works well with RIR, for example, yeah. Okay. Like in exercises like muscle up or so, because then it's more the RPE is more the technical rating, and the RIR is more how many more she could have done.
That's pretty interesting. Mm. And here comes the thing in that is very interesting, as a lot of people have a pretty similar thinking about RPE and RIR, and then comes always a little bit of individual thinking about it in there. As I know, as an example, Alex Pürzel from Intelligent Strength, I think he has like 2 kind of RPEs in his programming, which one is the technical one and one is the like muscle failure stuff. I think it also makes sense to have both in there, or explain it to the athlete how you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And I think especially in a peaking,
yeah,
like that, or when it's kind of a strength block, not a hypertrophy block, then it makes absolutely more sense to go into the technical part of it, as you don't want to be you don't want to be the one who has a shitty rep in the exertion of this one,
yeah, because you risk hurting yourself too, like just
exactly. Yeah, the loads are a lot higher. Yeah. The intensity is a lot higher. The tendons to get injured is definitely a lot higher. So you gotta be really perfect with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think a very important one. And when it comes to stuff like the assistance exercises, which are just there to accumulate volume, like maybe having rows or stuff like that for the lats and stuff, it may be that these ones you don't have to be that accurate with a row like you have to be with a competition pull-up and stuff like that.
So
here it is a little bit different, but it's very important to explain how you think of RPE very well to the athlete.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
As it might be that he doesn't know about it and he read something about it or heard this podcast and thinks maybe the way I think or maybe the way you think, but his coach is completely different in this thing. And it's very important to don't have a misconception here.
Yeah. So, and I think that's why like video feedbacks are very important too, as part of a coach to see how they rate it and how they think about it.
Yeah. That's a very important one. All right.
All right. I think we covered it all.
We got it.
Nice and crispy.
That was the RP and RIR quickie.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Have a nice weekend. Thank you for listening. Like and share this one, and definitely share this one on your social media. Do it.
Yeah.
Tag us.
People need to know.
Yes. Do it. Goodbye.